Start the device up. Good morning. What a lot of smiley faces. We have had two amazing Bible readings again this morning, haven't we? Do you not think? That Revelations reading is incredible, isn't it? Revelations. Shouldn't have an S. I've decided I'm going to preach on both the readings. Bit of a big sermon, that. So the gospel reading, the calming of the storm, is going to be the main focus, really. It's really one of the most well-known and classic Bible stories, isn't it? It goes along, really, with walking on the water, doesn't it? Calming the storm. It's a sort of Bible story that everybody knows, that is a classic of Sunday schools gone by, and is a sort of one that if you don't know a lot about the Bible or about the New Testament, you probably know about Jesus calming the storm or walking on the water. This calming the storm passage occurs in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. And each account includes some little details that are not in the others. Okay, so I'm going to use all three this morning, and there's quite a bit in Mark which I really like, so I'm going to use some of that, a lot of that as well. The account of the calming of the storm is, I find, both fascinating and reassuring, because in it we see how like us Jesus actually is and was. And yet, at the same time, how much he truly was and is the Son of God. From Mark's account, we find that Jesus has been teaching the people all day long, and probably for several days before. And he's probably been doing it from the very boat he's going to sail off in. And the people were probably crowded on the seashore. He was in the boat. And his voice was amplified across the water as they listened to him. But now, Jesus was tired. And you could say ready for a cup of tea and a bit of a lie down, some space and time to himself. He was seeking some downtime, really, and a withdrawal from the crowds that he'd been teaching. So Jesus asked the disciples to sail him across the lake. He actually asked for that. To the other side. Now that's a distance from where he was. It's a distance of about 7 to 8 miles of lake or sea. And Mark records for us a really interesting detail, because he says they took him just as he was. Isn't that interesting? So there was no popping back to wherever he was staying to freshen up or get a coat or food or drink for the journey or comb his hair, wash his face, get a sleeping bag for the night. There was none of that. It was just as he was. So he'd been teaching. He was worn out. Just as he was. They took him. Jesus teaching all day, and we take that for granted, don't we? That isn't that the stuff that Jesus did? He used to teach all day, heal a few people, raise a man from the dead, you know. It's the sort of stuff he did, wasn't it? But can you imagine teaching great crowds of people about the kingdom of heaven all day long, with seemingly no notes and no preparation time? Jesus was teaching what he heard from God the Father. As he often said to the Pharisees, he only spoke what he heard the Father saying. So not only was Jesus teaching, he was also listening to the words that were coming from the very throne room of God. That throne room is an amazing description. A throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he sat there and he had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, or emerald, whatever, ruby, whatever you want to call it. Translation's difficult there. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Incredible. On the throne was God, who had the appearance of a multifaceted jewel, shining in full strength. Incredible, isn't it? That's the God that Jesus was listening to. The Father seated on the throne in heaven. So no wonder he was giving out and he was receiving. No wonder he was tired. But isn't it wonderful, don't you think, that all that teaching that came through Jesus, that we have written in our Gospels, came from the very throne room of God? Don't you think that's amazing? Yeah, I think that's amazing. Don't fall asleep on me now. So Jesus was tired out. And as soon as his head hit the pillow, you could say, in the stern of the boat, he fell fast asleep. Not surprising, really. Do you know, I think this is the only time in the New Testament we actually hear of Jesus being asleep. Don't know of any other occasions. Glad to hear it if you can tell me later. But like us, he must have gone to sleep at least most nights. We only hear about him going to sleep here because on this occasion it gave the disciples a problem. The storm raged all around them and Jesus continued sleeping as if it was all calm and serene. You know, the Sea of Galilee is 686 feet. Don't know about that in metres. Somebody who's much brighter than me can tell me that, I'm sure. But it's 686 feet below sea level, which makes it the lowest freshwater lake in the world. Not quite as low as the Dead Sea, but nearly. So when the winds blow in from the east, they're funneled down onto the Sea of Galilee, creating storms. And that can produce waves of more than 2 meters, or about 7 feet in height, more than that. Now you can imagine that would be pretty scary if you were in a wooden fishing boat going up 7 feet and down, whatever, with the wind howling round you. Now the disciples were seasoned fishermen. And they were regular users of the Sea of Galilee, and they were well used to the weather that it produced. And yet, they were in full panic mode. So we can only conclude from that this was an unusually violent storm that even they, weren't used to having on the Sea of Galilee. Now, in the first century, fear of drowning, particularly in this area of the world, was a very real thing. Swimming was not a common skill at all, even for sailors and fishermen. And the Sea of Galilee, as they passed over it in the middle, can reach a depth of 141 feet. So the danger of the boat capsizing in this storm and drowning occurring was a real fear for these guys. Now then, here's a couple of questions for you. I always like to have questions in my sermon. What did the disciples expect Jesus to do when they woke him up? What did they expect him to do when they woke him up? And second question, if he'd stayed asleep, would they all have gone down with the boat? I don't see anyone really rushing forward with an answer. When the disciples woke Jesus and said, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" We know that they had no idea that he could control the wind and the sea, because they eventually said at the end, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They had no idea he could do that. The problem for the disciples was that they had no understanding of the person that Jesus really was. "Who then is this?" they said. The disciples were panicking. It was like waking up your dad. "Do something! Do something! I need something to be done!" But they had no idea what that something was that they wanted him to do, because they'd simply not grasped the fact that Jesus was God. They were with him every day, and yet they seemed blind to the true person that he was. And how about us, do you think? How about us? Are we so blind to the true person Jesus is? And what expectations do we place on him? What expectations do we place on him when we try and wake him up and get him involved in our lives? Do something. Do you think our expectations of Jesus are just a little too low? And is Jesus really saying to us all the time from that throne in heaven that we really aren't trusting him with our lives like we should? Is he often saying to us, like he said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" So, do you think the boat would have sunk if Jesus had not woken? At least some people are shaking their heads. I don't think it would have sunk. And I'll tell you why. The boat may have been bashed about. It might have been filled with water. It might have been pretty worn out and smashed, but nobody on board would have been in peril. How do I know that? Because Jesus was on board that boat, and Jesus is God. And Jesus is as much God as God the Father, described in Revelation as sitting on that throne in heaven. And Jesus came to die on a cross, not to drown on the Sea of Galilee. That's all I know. That's why he was saying, "You've got such small faith. Don't you know who I am?" When Jesus is with us in the storms of our life, he might choose to speak to that storm and bring calm. But Jesus may also choose to simply stay with us in that storm. Because eternal life is just that. It's eternal. And the important thing is not whether Jesus commands calm into the storm of our lives when they occur, but that he's always there with us in the storm, all the way through to eternity. So, how big is your Jesus? Because he is the God throughout all the storms and calms of your life. Are you afraid Or do you have faith that he is there? It must have been absolutely stunning and amazing for the disciples when Jesus woke and simply rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." We're told by Mark that there was a great calm. And that is the power of the peace of Jesus. And that's what the peace of Jesus can bring. A great calm. We're not told what Jesus said to the wind, only that he rebuked it. I wonder what he said. Wouldn't you like to know? I would. In an instant, the lives of the disciples went from panic and fear to dead calm. And all it took was a few words from Jesus. Just like when the words of creation were spoken in the beginning, "Let there be," and there was. Isn't it stunning that Jesus was telling off, really, the very creation that he brought into being? It always amazes me how little we understand and know about the bigness of our Jesus. Isn't it? The bigness of our Jesus. So little we understand, really. So all was well in the boat and on the sea, and Jesus and the disciples sailed on to the other side. So how about us? Like the disciples, we need to know the true awesomeness of Jesus in our lives. And yet, like them, we need Jesus to speak into our lives at times of difficulty. But we also need him to speak into our lives in the ordinary, everyday things of life. And yet, like the disciples, we must have faith in the very presence of Jesus with us. For who then is this? For he commands, and even the winds and the water obey him. Amen.